Today is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. The scripture lessons are from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 14, and the gospel according to St. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Today's message is titled, Listening to What He Said. It is written in Genesis chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I had found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Here ends the first reading from Scripture. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning of verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray that fourth century prayer from St. Jerome. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When I was growing up in Bowie, Maryland, there was a sound every summer that always, always drew my attention. And when I heard that sound, it was usually mid-afternoon or just after supper time, I would check my pocket to see if I had some change, eager and ready to leave my pocket for a tasty treat. The treat was on the way as my ears eagerly waiting for the distant ringing to come closer and closer, listening to the ringing bells of the Good Humor ice cream truck. As the bells sound, you know that unique sound from those four different sized bells? As that sound came closer and closer, I would watch for that white Good Humor truck. And if you remember, with the driver dressed in the white uniform. He would stop the truck as the crowd of kids grew, get out, and a line would form. You'd give your order, give the man your money, and next would be that familiar clinking sound of the change machine hanging on his belt. That was part of his uniform, and you hear that clink, 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 clink as he counted out the change. Then, depending on what item, the Good Humor man would go from the many doors around the truck to pull that delicious treat. Do you remember those days of Good Humor ice cream? I mean, depending on the change in my pocket, I'd buy a push-up or a banana popsicle. Or if I had enough money, that once in a while I had enough, I'd buy that extra special strawberry shortcake bar. Did you have a favorite from the Good Humor man? Mine was strawberry shortcake. I mean, do you recall hearing the Good Humor man and hearing that sound of those bells? Would they cause you to jump up from the dinner table and run out the door? It did me. The wonderful gift of hearing the Lord has given us. Do we really realize how wondrous and precious the gift of hearing truly is? Through hearing, we learn to talk. It's through hearing so much of life comes into you and becomes part of you. Yes, it comes in and becomes part of you. Through hearing, music, the wonder of music, then with words and harmonies and chords, and along with dissonance and silence. These days, with information overload, and when we multitask and selectively we shut out sounds, in a manner we have lost the deep appreciation of hearing. Imagine, if you can, a time when all the cacophony of sounds cascading all around to a simpler time. A simpler time when the only human voice you would hear would be another person speaking nearby you or speaking to you. Or a simpler time when the sounds of nature was the symphony you heard throughout the day, unless you went to the concert hall. Imagine a time as evening came and the day closed, all gathered around the fire to hear the stories of hunting, the hunting prowess of the day, or stories told of family history, told in the exact same way each and every time, such that you found yourself seeing the words from memory too. Imagine the days before writing, when all was passed on orally and the ability to listen and remember was commonplace. Listen and remember. Listen and remember and repeat so that what you hear becomes deeply rooted in you. Do you remember the times in school when the times table were taught by rote in this manner? When the whole class would say over and over and over again the times table. Do you remember those times of the times table being said over and over and over? That's when learning by rote was the way of learning. Learning by repetition of listening and repeating. Listening and repeating till the listening has now become ingrained deep inside of you. That's the power of hearing the same thing over and over. It becomes deeply ingrained inside of you. Listening, really listening. When was the last time each one of us really listened in such a manner as that? Luke chapter 10, verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Mary, let's learn from Mary, for her action and attitude is a teachable moment for all of us. Jesus was traveling on his way towards Jerusalem. We know this from Luke chapter 9, verse 51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Mary, along with her older sister Martha, because the house said it belonged to Martha, so Martha's the oldest, and also their brother Lazarus, we know from other places in Scripture, they lived in Bethany, a town in Judea that is near Jerusalem. It's really just a couple miles east of Jerusalem. Traveling along, Jesus comes into town and he shows up at Martha's door. And she invites him in along with the disciples. That means at least 12 others coming in to stay. What would you do if a good friend shows up unannounced with a crowd to stay in your house and they show up at the door knocking and you let them in? Wow. For several summers in the early 1970s, all of my mom's siblings with their families, we'd gather at Otter Tail Lake in Minnesota. My mom's parents had a tiny cabin on the lake. My mom's older sister had a cabin on the lake also, just a few cabins down. My mom's older brother would come along with his family, bring in their boat. Grandpa, he had a pontoon boat. And my uncle and aunt, whose cabin was just a couple down, they had a boat also. So between the families, Grandma and Grandpa, Uncle Harvey, Aunt Charlene, Uncle Ken, Aunt Rosalie, Uncle Roger wasn't able to come, but my mom's twin sister, Aunt Charlene, she'd be there, and so would all the cousins be there too. Three cousins, they had their own room in the cabin, the family cabin there. The two youngest cousins, they would sleep in Grandma and Grandpa's cabin with their moms. In other words, my mom and my younger sister, and my mom's twin sister and their youngest, who were quite young at that time. That would leave the rest of us cousins. And we'd bunk in the garage. Yes, we'd all be bunked in the garage. Beds were set up for us. As a matter of fact, 10 beds would be set up for us. We'd be in the garage for the week together. So altogether, there were 15 cousins, 9 adults between these two cabins and the garage. Memories. Oh, they're treasured memories of those times being together. It was at Otter Tail Lake that I learned to water ski. And these getting together, oh, that was such fun. And we did not just show up at Grandma and Grandpa's cabin, nor my aunt and uncle's cabin. It took weeks and weeks of planning and preparation for meals. I mean, 15 cousins aging from about a year and a half to the upper teens, and then 9 adults. That's a lot of food, a lot of things to prepare about. It was hard work for all of us to be there together. Perhaps you have a little empathy for Martha seeing the crowd at her door, inviting Jesus in with the disciples, and we knew it was at least 12. So a total of 13. Martha, she sets to work to host this crowd, counting them. Oh no, 1, 2, 3, 4, as they come through the door, wondering how she's going to prepare for all of them. Mary, though, she sits down at Jesus' feet, listening to his words. Sits down to listen to Jesus. I find this very interesting. In the scriptures, we don't know what Jesus was saying in Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house. We don't know what he was saying. What we do know, Mary was listening and Martha was scurrying about with much on her mind till she broke and said, it starts at Luke chapter 10 verse 40, but Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. I mean, in exasperation, Martha cries out, tell my sister to help me. From this, we learn a lesson, though. Luke chapter 10, beginning of verse 41. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha, in her work, was being pulled in different directions by the preparations. Martha was going to pieces and was becoming agitated. Many things are pulling Martha apart. Tenderly, Jesus speaks her name, speaks it twice. Martha, Martha, to get her undivided attention. And this is for us to pay attention, pay close attention to. This Martha, Martha also is for us to draw us to pay close attention. Her busyness distracting her. Really look at the contrast. This Martha, Martha is to draw us into the contrast. To pay attention to the contrast. Her busyness was distracting her as compared to Mary's focus on Jesus. Jesus said, one thing is necessary, and one thing Mary, for the good, has chosen. The Greek word order is very interesting here. This is the Greek word order brought into English. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing, however, is necessary, and one thing Mary, for the good portion, has chosen, which will not be taken from her. The many things pulling Mary away, the many things pulling Martha away from the one thing necessary. And we need to pay close attention to how this one thing Mary has chosen, this one thing, how it is described. Mary, for the good portion, has chosen, which will not be taken away from her. Good, the Greek word is agathos, which means good. However, there is more to understand. This good, agathos, this good is inherently and intrinsically good. Good. This Greek word agathos is used to describe the good that originates from God and is empowered by Him in their life through faith. So this good is the things from God that empowers Him in our life through faith. What this means is that Martha, by being distracted and pulled in many directions, was missing out on the good portion, the good of faith that God brings into a person's life. Very easily, we can hypothesize that if Martha sat down along with Mary at Jesus' feet and not become scatterbrained about hospitality preparations, she would have been most welcomed to have done so, to sit down at Jesus' feet with her sister Mary. This is the time to sit with Jesus. Preparations can wait. Even though there was no microwave ovens, preparations can wait. For something greater was happening there. Jesus was speaking. This is the time for listening. This is the time for listening and taking the good portion into oneself. The good portion that will not be taken away from her. Listen, the Greek word is akouo. Akouo. It means listen, but it means properly to hear, with this figurative understanding to hear God's voice, which prompts and brings about the birth of faith within a person. So listening, that's hearing God's voice, and it brings about the birth of faith. And notice the next thing that's said is, not will be taken away from. Not will be taken away from. This phrase is actually two Greek words, ouk, which means not, and then a long compound Greek word, which means will be taken away from. Will be taken away. At root of that word means to lay hold of. Lay hold of, because it's a long compound word, but at root of the word is lay hold of by a personal choice. Lay hold of by a personal choice. What this means is the good choice that Mary has made is to take hold of what is being offered her as she listens to the words of Jesus As she listens, the words of Jesus are coming in. Faith is being born in her such that it will never be taken away from her. Let that sink in. It's coming in and it will never be taken away. This good portion being offered her. Now, let's take a look at Mary's posture. She sat down. The Greek word is a compound word, para and kathizo. Para and kathizo. Para means beside. Kathizo means sit down. So it's beside, sit down. But you need to dig deeper into that word para. Para stresses the nearness. And para is also significant, for there's implied intimate interaction, implied intimate participation. So it stresses the nearness, and it also stresses the significance of that interaction together. In other words, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. She was sitting as close as possible, and she's fully engaged in the moment, listening with all she could listen with. Mary was engrossed with Jesus. All of Mary's attention, all of Mary's interest was fully absorbed into the moment of being with Jesus. Fully absorbed in the moment, listening to Jesus. Listen with closeness, fully absorbed in the moment being near Jesus and listening to Jesus. That is a wonderful description of what worship is to be. Worship. Draw near to be near Jesus and to listen to Jesus. To be fully absorbed as Mary and not distracted as Martha. The importance of this is the time to listen. That in your life, that intentional setting aside of time to listen, to choose the good portion as Mary did, to listen to the Word of God spoken aloud, listen to the teaching about the Word of God. We aren't able to physically sit as Mary did at Jesus' feet, but we can. We can sit at the feet of the Holy Scriptures to hear, to listen, to really listen, to fully absorb in the listening such that faith is planted, faith is nurtured, faith grows. It's written in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And then jumping down to verse 17, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from the hearing, the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. If one is not setting aside Sunday mornings to sit at the feet of Jesus, how is this good portion getting into one's life to build and nurture and grow faith? That good portion that will not be taken away. This morning's readings from Holy Scriptures mentions three women by name. Luke chapter 10, we have Martha, distracted. Mary chooses, listens and chooses the good portion by listening. And then Genesis chapter 18, we have Sarah listens, but Sarah doesn't believe the words spoken. Genesis 18, verse 10. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Sarah was listening. Did you hear that? Sarah was listening. But the words spoken were just too fantastic to believe. They didn't sink in. She heard, but she did not hear. She heard the words, but she did not hear because faith was not born in her according to what the words said. I mean, there's plenty of reason not to believe. Sarah was listening, but plenty of reason not to believe. So faith was not born in her in that moment. Rather, she laughed. Genesis chapter 18, beginning of verse 9. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" I mean, looking in the mirror, Sarah saw an old, barren woman and also an even older husband, both well advanced in years, she well past childbearing. Sarah was listening. She heard the words, "By this time next year, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." And an expression of doubt came forth through the laughing. For an expression of faith could have easily had come forth with great rejoicing. Do you see the difference of hearing the words but not really hearing? Listening but not really hearing. Or listening and hearing. Sarah laughed, doubt, where she could have rejoiced, expressing faith. Genesis chapter 18, beginning at verse 13. Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son.'" Martha, Sarah, and Mary. Three women, three different actions, three different responses. Now, you choose the better part. Listening to what he said is the better part and portion. That portion will not be taken away from you. Remember when Peter said, it's written in John chapter 6, verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Jesus has the words of eternal life. Listen to what words he is saying to you. Listen to these words of eternal life. Jesus has the words of eternal life, for Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, the Christ, was crucified and is the risen one. Finished the work of redeeming on the cross. The price has been paid in full. These are words of eternal life. You will hear if you sit at Jesus' feet and listen. Really listen to what he said. Every Sunday morning, be as Mary. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Be fully absorbed and completely attentive, listening to the Word of God being spoken from the Scriptures in worship. Come to worship every Sunday morning so that every week there is a time you are intentionally choosing the better part, being fully captivated with the desire to be in the presence of Jesus. As Mary was listening to what he said. In doing so, you will be choosing the better part, which will never be taken away from you. By listening to what he said, you will find life through the forgiveness of your sins. And you will have life in his name that will never be taken away from you. So worship. Worship with all you are. Worship as you sit at the feet of Jesus and be captivated and enthralled as you are listening to what he said. And you will have what will never be taken away from you. Life in his name. Amen and amen.